Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
An annual high school play about gun violence takes on new meaning after a recent shooting near campus. The message many hope will prompt leaders to take action.
Also, emotions run high at the sentencing hearing for the Buffalo supermarket shooter. Nearly a dozen officers restrain a man after he rushes the confessed killer in court. Michelle McConaughey has the emotional testimony that led to this moment.
And it's nice out there right now. Today and tomorrow will be great times to get outside, but I'll show you what our commute will look like on Friday morning.
Breaking news this noon. Students at a Wake County middle school were dismissed about an hour ago due to a suspected gas leak. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. A strong smell of gas was reported at Oberlin Middle School around 9:30 this morning. School officials evacuated the building so the fire department could assess the situation. School buses were provided for students who ride the bus, and parents can pick up their children following standard carpool procedures. This is all after-school activities as well canceled today.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, in the last 15 minutes, we've learned the man who killed 10 people at a Buffalo supermarket in May of last year has been sentenced to life in prison without parole. Peyton Gendron, again, sentenced to life without parole. But before the sentencing, it was a very emotional day in court. A lot of the victim's family members speaking directly to Gendron. One of them, Barbara Massey, she was speaking about her 72-year-old sister, Catherine, who was killed that day, saying there was nothing her sister would not do for people. She only weighed 110 pounds. She was a kind woman. She became very emotional. And that's when a man standing directly behind her charged Gendron.
We love our kids. We never go in no neighborhood to take people out. Don't do it!
And as you saw there, a very, very emotional, chaotic scene in the courtroom. You saw Gendron being rushed out of the courtroom. Officers did manage to hold that man back and restore order in the courtroom. Again, the judge in the case did continue with the hearing, sentencing Gendron to life without parole.
Michelle, thanks for the update. Happening right now, actors for the play State of Urgency are on the stage. This performance addresses gun violence and is led by students at Hillside High School in Durham. Just this month, someone shot and killed a student near the school, and another student brought an unloaded gun to school. WRAL's Julian Grace is live at Hillside High School right now. And Julian, you got a peek at the play.
We did get a peek, Renee, and let me tell you this. Students from all over the area, they are here at Hillside High School to see this play, State of Urgency, and it's all about curbing gun violence right here in this city. Let's go to the sneak peek that we got to see earlier today, and I can tell you this play is very powerful. The play's creator says the performance is a call to action to curb gun violence. Durham School Superintendent and Durham Sheriff Clarence Burkhead were in attendance for the play, and Sheriff Burkhead shared his goal for those watching the play.
I really want them to be moved to action. An action to talk to our kids about guns, to talk about gun violence, to really develop that relationship so we can learn from the kids what's going on, what's prompting all of the violence.
There is Sheriff Burkhead right there. Now, coming up later tonight, all new at 4 o'clock, Renee, we're going to go inside and you're going to hear from some of those actors in this play and what they hope people will gain after seeing it. Renee?
The message of the play, relevant and timely. Julian Grace reporting live from Durham. Thanks. Yes. Saturday night, WRAL is going on the record to look at the effect guns in schools and recent lockdowns are having on children and what some school systems are doing or not doing in response to the recent incidents. Watch On the Record Saturday at 7 p.m.
We're seeing a few more clouds out there today than yesterday, but we stay dry until tomorrow night. Elizabeth Gardner is tracking our next front and shows us how it could affect our Friday morning commute, as well as the Carolina Hurricanes Fan Fest this weekend.
This is a live look at downtown Apex right now, and it feels nice outside. I was outside just a little while ago. There's definitely blue sky that you can see, but it's covered with some thin, high cloud cover, a little bit different than what we saw yesterday. We have a steady stream of moisture coming out of the Gulf of Mexico into North Carolina. That's what's helping to provide some of that cloud cover for today. No rain today or tomorrow. We'll see increasing clouds tomorrow ahead of this front. This is the front that will sweep eastward. We'll see a low developing in the Gulf of Mexico, and that front will sweep that front across our area. That's going to bring us some rain for Thursday night into Friday. We'll start here Thursday evening at 6 p.m. You can see the clouds starting to thicken up, especially as we get past sunset. We get to midnight and we start to see the rain moving in. This is 6 a.m. and at that point it looks pretty wet, especially in some spots. You can see some of the heavier rainfall there in the yellows and oranges, possibly a rumble of thunder, but we're not expecting any severe storms out of this. By the time we get to lunchtime, the rain is almost out of the viewing area. It moves on by, and we may even see a little bit of clearing late in the afternoon from northwest to southeast. It is going to be very chilly on Friday, and we're going to take a look at that coming up, but definitely a good chance of rain for the first half of the day Friday. Almost everyone will see it. We'll go over Friday hour by hour, and I'll show you how the temperatures will drop for folks heading to FanFest.
Tears and tributes at Michigan State University after Monday's deadly shooting rampage. Flowers and candles were seen throughout the entire campus as students mourned those who were lost and injured in the shooting. The Rock and the Spartan statue on the grounds of campus have quickly become memorials. Classes and activities are canceled for the rest of the week. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll share what we've learned about the three students who were killed.
The DMV is announcing big changes to cut down on long lines. Earlier this month, Five on Your Side highlighted the problems and spoke with parents and lawmakers pushing for shorter wait times and more technology.
If they're a driver or not, young or old, rich or poor, black or white, that is our welcome mat. And I feel like that agency just slams the door in everybody's face.
You know, this is a service that's owed to us as residents that are taxpayers, and it's not there right now.
WRL's Keely Arthur joins us now with a look at those newly announced improvements. Keely, here's hoping that they will start whittling down those wait times.
Yeah, I think that these changes are going to help with this. A lot of the updates are going to start May 1st. They include several upgrades, including expanded office hours beginning at 7 a.m. at a total of 40 offices. Fewer appointment slots. Now, appointments will be available between 8 and 11 a.m., and this is just going to allow for more walk-ins. Finally, expired state ID cards and full provisional licenses can now be renewed online. Now, during our coverage, we highlighted some of the other things states are doing to help alleviate wait times, like self-serve kiosks over in California. North Carolina is now putting together a pilot program with 20 kiosks where you can renew your driver's license or register vehicle renewal. The DMV will also add Saturday hours starting in June to August. That's their busy time at 16 offices, including here in Raleigh, Durham, and Fayetteville.
We will see if they work on cutting down those wait times. Keely Arthur, thank you. This morning, the Biden administration announced new rules to create a network of electric vehicle chargers around the country. The White House says it has finalized standards for EV chargers, so any electric car can use any charger. The new rules also require all EV chargers funded by the federal government to be made in the U.S. The new policies come as President Biden aims to meet his climate change targets of having a 500,000 EV chargers in the U.S. by 2030.
The death toll from the Turkey-Syria earthquake has now surpassed 41,000 people. Frantic rescue workers continue their efforts to rescue survivors trapped by the devastating earthquakes that struck Turkey and Syria. Some crews are now in recovery mode, though. NBC's Kelly Cobier reports from southeastern Turkey.
The death toll from those two powerful quakes is still rising, and you can see just how powerful they were right at my feet, where the earth literally broke apart, creating what is now about a mile and a half long canyon snaking down this countryside in southeastern Turkey. There have been more incredible rescues today. A 42-year-old woman pulled alive from the rubble. 9 rescues in total yesterday. Rescuers just completely exhausted. They're digging tunnels through mountains of rubble, in some cases finding survivors as they're reaching out through the debris and then pulling them to safety. Some of these rescues taking hours at a time. Meantime, the Turkish president today saying that more than 200,000 buildings are so badly damaged that they'll have to be demolished. Tens of thousands of people are without shelter yet again. Some aid is getting through again, but lots of people are having to live out in the elements in what is another cold day and a cold night here in Turkey and in Syria, where the situation continues to be very dire. The United Nations saying another convoy of aid has now gotten through to people in the opposition-held area in Syria, but it is still quite desperate there.
That's Kelly Covier reporting. Rescuers are working hard to rescue all living creatures. A dog was found alive now 10 days after the massive earthquake in the debris of a building there that collapsed in Turkey. Footage released by emergency services shows rescue workers whistling and calling that dog, who appeared to be a little apprehensive, but after a little coaxing, he crawled out, much to the delight of the cheering rescue crews.
So good to see that. Another big development is coming to Johnston County. WRAL TechWire confirms a Charlotte-based commercial real estate developer has plans to build a 125,000-square-foot business park. The so-called 42 West will go up near the intersection of I-40 and future Interstate 42 in Clayton. The business park is set to open late this year. The development will bring at least 100 jobs to the area and contribute $20 million a year to the local economy. Next at noon, a terrible bus crash in Panama kills 39 people. The tragic events that caused the bus to go off a cliff.
Also, production of the movie Rust will resume this spring. What will be different on set when that filming restarts?
Plus, at 12:20, a college community coping with loss. New information on the 3 students killed in the Michigan State University mass shooting.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
People in East Palestine, Ohio, are anxious, being told it is safe to return home now more than a week after a massive train derailment contaminated the town with toxic chemicals. Chris Foster shares concerns from locals.
It's been more than a week since a massive train derailment contaminated an Ohio town, and residents say they're still living in fear. The derailment released hazardous chemicals into the water, air, and soil of East Palestine, Ohio, prompting widespread evacuations. Governor Mike DeWine claimed on Tuesday that it's safe for residents to return, but some folks say their homes are making them sick.
I did go in my house yesterday briefly for about 10 minutes, and last night I had my lips were turning colors. They were like polka dotted, and I was getting bright red patches on my face.
The rail operator is now offering financial assistance to displaced residents while efforts by the EPA to remove contaminated dirt and water continue.
I have complete confidence in the partnership that's been exhibited with the state leadership on water quality testing. The air quality monitoring data that we are providing is done with the highest technologies available.
And despite reporting that more than 3,000 fish died as a result of the contamination, they say there are no toxic threats in the air or water at this time.
We have first made sure that we were providing a clean atmosphere, clean air, and now we are actively working to assure that people, for the long run, have clean water.
Meanwhile, lawmakers are asking hard questions about how this derailment happened. Governor DeWine says his officials were never informed that toxic materials were being transported because the train was not classified as carrying, quote, high hazardous materials.
This is absurd, and we need to look at this, and Congress needs to take a look at how these things are handled.
That was Chris Foster reporting. A town hall meeting is scheduled tonight for people who live there to share their concerns with local officials.
At least 39 people died in Panama after a bus carrying more than 60 migrants fell off a cliff. Officials say the migrants had crossed the treacherous Darien camp from Colombia. Immigration officials say it appeared the bus driver had passed the entrance to a shelter. And when he tried to turn around to get back onto the highway, the bus crashed into another bus and went off the cliff. The Western film Rust will resume production this spring after suspending production in October of 2021. New on-set safety officers will be on set, and the production team says no working weapons or ammunition will be used. The news comes after New Mexico prosecutors charged Alec Baldwin and the film's armorer with involuntary manslaughter for the death of cinematographer Halyna Hutchins.
Six-time NBA champion Michael Jordan is celebrating his 60th birthday this Friday by giving. He is making a $10 million donation to Make-A-Wish. It is the largest donation ever received from an individual in the organization's 43-year history. Jordan hopes the gesture will inspire others to help fulfill the wishes of kids still waiting for their wishes to come true. He has granted hundreds of wishes to children all over the world and remains one of the most requested celebrity wish granters. Jordan first supported Make-A-Wish in 1989. Hundreds of thousands of Kansas City Chiefs fans are lining the streets right now, packing downtown for today's Super Bowl parade and rally. This is a live look, Union Station there. And what a sight. Wow, the procession will last about 90 minutes, closely mirroring that of the Super Bowl parade 4 years ago in 2020. The Chiefs defeated the Eagles 38-35 Sunday to claim Super Bowl 57.
Look at that sea of red. 3 days to go until the NHL Stadium Series comes to Carter-Finley, and we'll see another sea of red, the Hurricanes taking on the Washington Capitals Saturday night. Organizers are putting the finishing touches on the outdoor ice, which now has some of the logos installed as well. Crews say they are actually ahead of schedule. WRA's live coverage of the game kicks off Friday with FanFest downtown. It's going to be a huge day of free fun for everyone. No ticket needed. You can find a complete rundown of Friday's events on WRL.com.
It is a beautiful day out there to visit a park, and right now kids of all ages can enjoy a new display. The Luminosity Festival kicks off Saturday at Pullen Park, but you can see the magical displays right now. This year's theme is Joy Blossom. Visitors will experience a magical wonderland filled with flowers, mushrooms, dinosaurs, so much more. At night, the displays will light up the sky. Visit luminosityfestival.com to get your tickets. What a weekend. What a week we're having. A weekend. It's going to cool off just in time for that hockey game. It's going to be great.
Exactly. The timing of this couldn't be better. This week, we'll just offer weather for everybody. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center to track our trends.
You know, there are us snow lovers out here still. We're just kind of crying over here because, man, you know, we get into March. It can happen, but it gets so much less likely. Instead, hey, you know what? Here's my mantra. If it's not going to snow, I'd rather it be in the 70s. So here we go. Above normal warmth today and tomorrow. And then the front comes through. That front moves through on Friday morning. It's going to bring some significant rain with us. We'll turn cooler behind the front, which is great news for everybody who is trying to head out to that hockey game. Again, they've got the ice already. The biggest thing that they worry about with that ice, because people wonder, well, oh my goodness, it's going to be 70 for the next couple of days. It'll be fine unless it gets a warm rain, and they're going to cover it very well. So if it were to rain during the game on Saturday, that could be a real issue, but it doesn't look like it's going to. And they've been doing this for a long time in different cities, and they've never had to cancel one. And it doesn't look like they'll have to cancel this one. It looks like it's going to be just fine on Saturday for ice skating outside. Futurecast showing just a little bit of cloud cover for the rest of the day today. We'll see tomorrow increasing clouds. It'll be pretty gray for tomorrow morning, and you can see that at lunchtime too. Clouds try to break up a little bit at 5 o'clock. I wouldn't necessarily count on that. I feel like tomorrow's going to be a pretty gray day. We're going to see the rain rolling in between 6 and 8 o'clock. You can see it a little heavier there along and east of I-95 there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then it starts to move on out. So here's lunchtime. By noon, the rain is over in the Triangle. We still have some showers south and east of the Triangle, but right after that, by 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're finished with it. And it does look like we're going to see some gradual clearing. So folks who are headed to FanFest may see a little bit of sunshine, which will feel good because temperatures are going to drop really dramatically. We're going to walk through that temperature drop for Friday afternoon coming up. It's going to be one of those backwards days where it's warmer in the morning than it will be in the afternoon. But today just feels fantastic. It's 68 right now. We'll likely climb into the mid-70s this afternoon. Our dew point is
a very pleasant 46. Here's a look at the front that will sweep through and bring us that rain on Friday. We'll see a low that starts to develop down here along the Gulf of Mexico and brings that rain in. It'll happen after midnight and will be done before noon on Friday, at least in the Triangle. Temperatures are going to really cool down, though, behind it. 70s today and tomorrow, but our temperatures will start to drop dramatically on Friday. It stays chilly Saturday, and then as quickly as it cools down, we start to see those temperatures climbing again. 55 is our normal high, mid-70s today and tomorrow. That's 64 on Friday. It will happen early in the day. Saturday is chilly at 53, but we'll see bright sunshine all day Saturday, and Sunday we start the temperatures climbing again. Mid-70s last week broke some records this week, to at least today and tomorrow. The records are in the low 80s. We're not looking at any records. We started to see the pollen climbing yesterday where trees were high. It's back to moderate, but with all these warm temperatures, starting to see that tree pollen climb as well. Coming up, like I said, we're going to walk through that temperature drop on Friday, hour by hour for you.
Today at 4, fix it up or tear it down. WRL's Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Faze walks us through the city's new push to get building owners who have boarded up properties to fix them or tear them down.
And at 5:30, RDU's growth and expansion continues. WRL's Destiny Patterson breaks down the latest addition to the airport, the jobs it's going to bring, and where it can take you affordably on your next vacation. Well, still ahead this noon, backed by popular demand, that Peeps-flavored Pepsi is back in stores, but only for a limited time. And this time, we're told you won't have to go on an Easter egg hunt to find it.
Plus, watching videos made by your favorite TikTok creators could soon come at a cost. Why the change could mean a big payday for influencers. Pepsi and Peeps are teaming up on a spring drink, and Ford has halted production of a popular pickup. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Ford has temporarily stopped production and shipments of its F-150 Lightning due to a potential battery issue. The Michigan plant where the electric pickup is built has been idle since last week. That's according to the company. Ford says the move came after a vehicle displayed a potential problem during a pre-delivery inspection. Production on the Lightning began just last April. It's the first mainstream electric pickup, and Ford has big demand for the truck and a long customer wait list. Nissan is recalling 400,000 older minivans, pickups, and SUVs due to a possible airbag issue. The recall covers some Titan, Frontier, Xterra, Pathfinder, and Armada models from 2008 through 2011, and some Nissan Quest minivans from 2008 and 2009 are also being called back. The automaker is aware of at least four reports of injury due to the defective airbag assembly. The company will be notifying owners of the vehicles affected. Pepsi is bringing back its Peeps-flavored soda for the spring, and this time it will be widely available. Pepsi by Peeps debuted 2 years ago, but only in a small batch. The marshmallow-flavored drinks ended up selling for hundreds of dollars on the resale market. Well, this time, Pepsi by Peeps will be available in stores nationwide. You can find it now for a limited time. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
That was a whole lot of sugar right there. Hyundai and Kia have developed new software to make stealing a vehicle that much harder. The companies are offering a free software patch to 8.3 million owners of vehicles that are believed to be very easy to steal. 2015 and 2019 models with turnkey ignitions are affected. The companies have already started providing updates to their most vulnerable models.
If you click on your Internet Explorer icon today, don't be alarmed when you get redirected to Microsoft Edge. The tech giant permanently disabled the older web browser on its desktops. Internet Explorer debuted in 1995 as part of Windows 95. Remember that? And at one point, it commanded 95% of the market. Microsoft announced in June of last year that it was retiring the browser. The company plans to remove all visual references to Internet Explorer when it releases an update to its operating system in June. TikTok users may have to pay to watch videos made by their favorite creators. A report on a tech site says the social media platform may allow creators to charge fans a dollar or more to view their videos. TikTok also plans to rework its creator fund to pay users with more than 100,000 followers. The proposed changes will combine with other incentives for creators, like a marketplace to match with brands for sponsorships.
A community in mourning after the mass shooting at Michigan State University. What we've learned about the students who were killed.
Scientists say they may be on the verge of a game changer for contraception. The promising results from a new test on a male birth control drug. That's in our next half hour.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We're getting new information about the three young Michigan State University students whose lives were cut short in Monday night's mass shooting.
It comes as investigators try to determine the gunman's motive. NBC's Jesse Kirsch is in East Lansing, where parents and students are struggling to cope with the loss.
This morning, another U.S. college town grieving after the nation's latest mass shooting. Michigan State University announcing sophomore Brian Frazier, junior Ariel Anderson, and junior Alexandria Werner were all killed when a gunman opened fire on campus Monday night.
We would like to honor her.
Werner honored late Tuesday at a vigil in her hometown, Clawson, Michigan. Her former high school principal describing her as an exemplary young person.
You try to surround yourself with people that make you feel good as a human being. And that's what Al did to everyone.
In a statement, Anderson's family saying in part the aspiring surgeon was passionate about helping her friends and family, assisting children, and serving people. Frazier was president of MSU's Phi Delta Theta chapter, the fraternity calling him a great friend to his Phi Delta brothers.
I think all of us are numb to the whole situation. We have lived this our entire lives.
Five other students remain hospitalized. This fraternity surveillance video shared with NBC News appears to show the suspected shooter, Anthony Dwayne McCray, in the massacre's aftermath. McCray's father telling NBC News his son became reclusive, evil, and mean after his mother died 2 years ago. But still, no official motive. More than 600 miles away, police in Ewing, New Jersey say after McCray shot and killed himself, authorities found a note in his pocket that indicated a threat to that community, prompting schools there to shut down Tuesday, although no threat was found. Back at Michigan State, the latest gun violence to stun the country, prompting some parents to come pick up their children from school.
The minute we saw her, the tears started and we just hugged and held each other. Because there are kids that... parents can't do that today because of this senseless stuff that goes on.
That was Jesse Kirsch. The LGBTQ venue in Colorado that was the site of a deadly mass shooting in November will reopen later this year. Managers say the location will feature a permanent tribute to the victims of that attack. Five people were killed at Club Q. 17 others were injured in the November 19th attack. The suspect faces more than 300 criminal counts, including first-degree murder. Former Club Q employees and contractors are set to receive lost wages from a GoFundMe campaign and sanctioned fundraisers.
Today, we expect new information about one local school system's big move to address a bus driver shortage. Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools just raised driver pay to $20 an hour. That's the highest in the Triangle. WRL's Naya Harden joins us from Chapel Hill with some of the other changes that could happen.
This right here is a big deal. They put a lot of thought into it before making that pay bump, and this could possibly shift what we see in other school systems. Take a look right now at what we're already seeing when it comes to Durham schools. They're starting at $18.13 an hour, while you have Wake County schools starting at $17.20 an hour. Chapel Hill Carborough Schools says only 2 days were fully covered this school year. Board members say they hope this will keep children in school.
I think transportation has changed. It's more expensive than it ever has been, and I think we just need to acknowledge it and really pay for it.
For me, it's the lost instructional hours. And we're constantly hearing us speak about closing gaps. But if they're not in school, you know, we're not closing any gaps that way.
The board has also recommended some other changes be considered, such as the elementary bell schedule and also magnet schools transportation. All of that would have to first go through public hearings. We're expected to get more information on all of that later on today, and we'll pass it along. Naya Harden, WRAL News in Chapel Hill.
State lawmakers want high school students to take a computer science course before they graduate. A new bill was approved Tuesday that could make that happen. The bill would require every middle and high school to offer a computer science course and require students to take it. Opponents are concerned the bill would get rid of an existing science requirement.
Students from historically black colleges and universities across the state are meeting in Raleigh to talk with lawmakers about issues that matter most to them. As part of their HBCU Advocacy Day today, students will speak at the General Assembly and talk with state lawmakers. At 1 o'clock, they will share the concerns publicly at a scheduled news conference. HBCUs play a big role in our state's higher education and economy. North Carolina is home to 11 of them and has more four-year HBCUs than any other state in the country. Speaking of HBCUs, North Carolina Central University's football team will be honored today at the Executive Mansion. Governor Cooper will welcome the Eagles this afternoon to celebrate their 2022 HBCU National Championship. The Eagles pulled off a huge upset in the Celebration Bowl in December, beating previously unbeaten Jackson State to claim the national title. It was the fourth time the Eagles have won the HBCU Championship.
Hundreds of Marines and sailors are returning to Camp Lejeune today after a deployment overseas. About 900 Marine Corps personnel from 1st Battalion, 2nd Marine Regiment, 2nd Marine Division are coming home today. They were in Okinawa, Japan for the unit deployment program. While they were overseas, they participated in security and training activities with regional allies. Still ahead this noon, the U.S. spends the most on health care yet has the worst health outcomes. The big takeaways from a study that exposes troubling gaps in our healthcare system.
And one issue getting support on both sides of the political aisle, protecting kids' mental health. Their ideas to regulate social media just ahead. Be sure to download the WRL News app for the latest breaking news, weather, and local events sent right to your favorite devices.
Welcome back this noon. The U.S. is home to some of the world's top hospitals and doctors. However, Americans are paying more for health care and not reaping the benefits. Ted Lindner takes a look at a new study that compares the cost of health care in the U.S. with other industrialized nations and how limited accessibility is contributing to failing health in America.
People in America are paying more for health care, but receiving worse outcomes. Those are the results of a recent study from the Commonwealth Fund, which examined health costs and coverage across the 38 countries that form the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, including the U.S., Canada, the United Kingdom, France, and more. The study found the U.S. spent almost twice as much on health care in 2021 than the average member nations in the OECD. Yet researchers say the U.S. still has the lowest life expectancy at birth, the highest death rates for preventable medical conditions, the highest mortality rate for mothers and infants, and some of the highest rates of suicide.
Because of the high cost of health insurance, some people, especially the minoritized communities, are choosing not to seek health care or to seek health care late in life. So there are some conditions that could be prevented that because they are not seeking care early enough, then they are not able to do that.
Medical professionals also point to inequalities in accessing health care.
If you have an insurance that is very strict, then getting health care providers that are who are within your network can be difficult. I am a good example. I just moved here in September. I'm in Bloomington. I have not been able to find a dentist, a health care provider. I have thyroid issues, so I am still using my health care providers out of state in North Carolina.
That was Ted Lindner reporting. And while telemedicine has helped bridge some of those gaps, Americans still see a doctor less often than people in other countries in the study.
Despite the results of that study, a report from the Administration on Aging says roughly 17% of people living in the U.S. were age 65 or older in 2020. That's up 38% since 2010. Now, in 2020, there were roughly 55.7 million people ages 65 or up. About half of them have arthritis, and roughly a quarter have some kind of cancer. The report estimates there will be double the amount of people 65 and older in 2040 compared to the year 2000. Scientists say they may be on the verge of a game changer for contraception. Researchers report promising results after testing a male birth control drug in mice. According to studies, the drug deactivates an enzyme which prevents pregnancy. The work suggests the drug can be taken as needed and was found to be effective at preventing impregnation in the first 2 hours after taking it. After 6 weeks of testing, the studies did not find any negative health outcomes, and the male mice were able to reproduce normally when not taking the contraceptive.
Protecting kids online and their mental health. After the break, a look at new regulations a bipartisan group of lawmakers is pushing in Washington.
Also, enjoy another great day of warm temperatures across the viewing area. Elizabeth tells us how much longer we can expect these temperatures to stick around.
Ooh, the clouds over Chapel Hill this noon. This is a live look right now from our WRL Live Cam network at the Top of the Hill restaurant up above Franklin Street there as you watch WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Big tech wasn't invited to the table Tuesday, but that group was the center of attention at a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing.
The topic, kid safety and privacy online. And the call was one for action. Emily Schmidt reports.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm?
The Senate Judiciary Committee spent about 2.5 hours Tuesday in a rare unified hearing.
This cause is truly bipartisan.
All of them are bipartisan.
It's an issue that keeps parents and children up at night.
A psychologist testified the average teen spends more than 8 hours a day online. That's more than three times the hearing length.
The last time Congress passed a law to protect children online was 25 years ago.
On Monday, a CDC survey found increasing mental health challenges among teens. 42% of high school students reported experiencing persistent sadness and hopelessness in 2021. Researchers say social media contributes. Kristen Bride testified that her son Carson didn't get a phone until eighth grade, no social media until ninth. Yet she says precautions did not stop his suicide.
Carson had received nearly 100 negative, harassing, sexually explicit, and humiliating messages, including 40 in just one day.
She said she could not successfully sue the social media sites because of something called Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. It provides legal immunity to websites that moderate user-generated content. Lawmakers are considering limits. Other ideas include creating a digital regulatory commission or setting age limits. Senators promised change and hinted that big tech will be invited to future hearings. I'm Emily Schmidt reporting.
Now, if you or someone you know needs help, call the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. It launched last summer and has already routed more than 2 million calls, texts, and chat messages to call centers.
We just saw those clouds over Chapel Hill. They're pretty persistent around the triangle. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now, although there are some blue skies in places out there.
In places, yeah. It's variably cloudy. Goldsboro, for example, good bit of sunshine here. It's breezy around the area. And Goldsboro, you can really tell it. That camera is just situated in a place where it gets pushed around by the wind some. Taking a look at Apex, we're also seeing partly cloudy skies, but definitely the view that we have here over Chapel Hill is gray. And the same thing there in Durham right now, too, at our Durham Bureau. Our Chapel Hill camera, of course, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We're seeing some breezy conditions in Goldsboro, actually. Breezy, gusting to 23. All of our winds today coming out of the south. That's what's bringing our temperatures up, and our temperatures are already in the upper 60s, heading for the mid-70s this afternoon. We're gusting to 18 in Roxboro and Rocky Mount, and the number on the left in the blue box is our steady winds. Our steady winds out of the south-southwest right now at about 10 to 20, so it's a bit blustery out there. Here comes our next front. It's going to swing through. It's going to be a low that develops in the Gulf of Mexico, and this front will sweep it up. So far, there's been a lot of snow with this front, but we will end up with some severe storms with this as it moves across the Mississippi Valley. Here's a look at tomorrow at 6 p.m. At that point, we'll be variably cloudy. Much of tomorrow will feel even cloudier than today as our cold front is approaching. After midnight, we start to watch that band of rain moving through. We'll pause it right there at 6, and you can see some of that's heavy. Wouldn't be out of the question to hear a rumble of thunder, but our chances for thunder and lightning with this are pretty limited tomorrow. Our air mass is going to be fairly stable as this moves on through. By noon, it's out of the triangle area and really along and east of I-95, and pretty quickly thereafter, say by 1 or 2 o'clock, it's totally out of the viewing area. I will likely start to see a little bit of clearing from the west. That severe weather threat is now a level 3, just east of the Mississippi Valley, but west of the mountains. Watch what happens, though, for Friday. As that system moves toward us, we have no remaining severe weather threat for any part of the southeast. Watch this. You can see the green and blue color contours. That's where we'd have the best chance of severe storms. But by Friday, as the front moves across our area, it's really just dissipating that potential for severe storms. And that's great news because there are a lot of folks who are going to want to head out to the Hurricanes Free Fan Fest downtown Raleigh. Our temperatures right around lunchtime are likely to still be close to 60 degrees, but it's going to be one of those backwards days where it's a lot warmer in the morning. And once the front moves through, it'll be much cooler in the afternoon. So we're talking about 2 o'clock at 50 degrees, at 6 o'clock, 46. So if you're planning to head down there on Friday, you shouldn't have to take your umbrella after 11 or 12, but boy, you'll want to take along a warm coat. And it stays chilly for Saturday, which is going to be great. If people are headed out to when the gates open, it'll be close to 50, 52. And then at game time, temperatures will be just right there in the low 40s, keeping that ice nice and fresh for sure. We take a look at that. Once we get past Saturday, our temperatures are going to warm right up. So pretty incredible to think that, yes, we're going to have ice outside for hockey, bookended by 70s on Thursday and again on Monday.
Festively chilly for Saturday. All right. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Egg prices are soaring higher than most other foods. The latest price comparison that may have you raising your eyebrows.
And we have a look at last night's winning Mega Millions drawing. Next estimated jackpot is $84 million.
Welcome back, giving you a live look from our tall tower cam at Southeast Wake County. We have variably cloudy skies out there, but a lot of warmth. We could see a high of 75 degrees today. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today for you. Students at a Wake County middle school were dismissed about an hour ago due to a suspected gas leak. A strong smell of gas was reported at Oberlin Middle School around 9:30 this morning. School officials evacuated the building so that the fire department could assess the situation.
Today, students at Hillside High School in Durham performed a play addressing gun violence. Now, this is an annual play that they put on. The twist here is that this is happening after two students were shot near the school earlier this month. One of those students died. Police have not made any arrests in connection to what happened. You'll hear from some of the actors about what this performance means to them on our evening news.
Today, we'll learn more about one local school system's big move to address a bus driver shortage. Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools just raised driver pay from $16.62 an hour to $20 an hour. This would be the highest in the triangle. Wake County Schools starts bus drivers at $17.20. Durham's starting pay is at $18.13. Now, the board has also recommended other changes, such as magnet school transportation changing and also adjusting bell schedules.
I know you've noticed this. The cost of a dozen eggs has gone up. It's now surpassed the price of a pound of ground beef. A dozen eggs cost a record $4.82 in January. The national average a year earlier, it cost about $2. The bird flu and higher feed costs have caused egg prices to surge. The price of a pound of ground beef is still about $4.64. Last summer, the price was above $5.
Our pet of the day is a handsome fella from Cat Angels NC. Meet Strauss. Strauss is a sweet and friendly adult male cat with a beautiful white coat dotted with gray spots. He may have had a rough start in life when he was abandoned outdoors, but he has quickly adapted to the comforts of indoor living and has grown to love it. Strauss is a social cat, gets along well with other felines, especially his brother cats. He's affectionate and loves people. If Strauss is the kitty you've been looking for, fill out an application on the Cat Angels website. That's catangelsnc.org.
Coming up on our news at 4, the countdown to the NHL Stadium Series game at Carter-Finley. A live report from the stadium as crews race to get ready for the big game this Saturday. The hockey gods are smiling on Raleigh for certain, with those temperatures dipping perfectly for the game.
Can't wait. It's going to be perfect timing with our weather. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in about 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Get out there and enjoy some of that sunshine. Have a great day.
Stay local. Stay with WRAL. Coverage never stops on the radio with 99.3 in Raleigh and 96.5 in Durham.